Have you ever had your emotions so incredibly pent up that you just felt like you needed to scream? Anybody with me? Have you been in that place? I wonder sometimes whether, you know, sometimes our emotions can sit so pent up that we can't find the words, but we can scream. And I wonder if our scream would be the most poignant prayer we could possibly utter at times. I sometimes wonder about church. You know, we come and we're polite, and we try not to make too much noise. You know, what if we had space in every worship service to scream? I really debated allowing us to do that today. And if you feel free, I won't judge you, but I decided not to. Think about Jesus. Jesus taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray like this. But I wonder if another way Jesus taught us to pray is that cry of anguish from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? I feel better. But what if that cry of anguish is also Jesus? This is how you pray. This prayer is acceptable. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, help us to trust today. In fact, startle us with your presence that meets us at the very depths of our being, that depth of emotion that maybe is even beyond words. There you are. Amen. Carl Jung, the famous psychoanalyst, referring to, you know, our deep-seated emotions of anger and fear and, you know, hurt and disappointment. Carl Jung said, an untamed cat always becomes a tiger. What he was suggesting to us is that unresolved pain, you know, unresolved pain that gets repressed, that gets buried, that gets stuffed down, always spills out in unhelpful, destructive ways, or maybe it shows up in our body in illness and ailments. An untamed cat will eventually become a tiger. Richard Rohr said it a different way. Richard Rohr said, pain that is not transformed will be transmitted. There's so much pain and anger and fear and hopelessness in the society around us, isn't there? I mean, you can feel it some days. It's palpable some days. These emotions have a tendency that if they go unchecked, if they go untamed, they will elevate and reproduce themselves if somehow they're not given the right container where they can be expressed in a healthy, constructive manner, where they might be healed and transformed. I mean, the most obvious examples of untamed cats becoming uncontrollable tigers we witness every day in the senseless violence that occurs in our society every single day. But pain and hurt are also transmitted in more subtle ways. I'm standing at this pulpit today because I tried desperately to write this message in a van traveling across the country, and it didn't work very well. So I was sitting in a hotel breakfast area, got up really early Friday morning, and I was sitting in the hotel breakfast area before people started to gather, trying to get my thoughts around this particular message, and then people started to gather. So I was in this hotel breakfast area in San Luis Obispo in a hotel, and there's this couple, two couples came. I mean, the entire breakfast room was free. No one, I was the only one there. But they chose the table. And I couldn't help but overhear. I couldn't help but be part of, of their conversation. And they clearly were there for a wedding of some kind of family members. And it was startling to me the way in which they gossiped about other family members. I mean, the entire conversation over breakfast with me sitting right there was about how horrible all these other family members are. But what was interesting to me, it had such an edge to it of bitterness and pain and resentment and judgment. So I couldn't help but wonder to me what unresolved pain lurked below in the surfaces. I mean, you all, many of you have experienced so much loss in the past 12 months. So much heartache. There's so much pain amongst so many who are part of this community. I mean, many of you are fighting such a hard battle. So the question I have for us today, what do you do with your pain? Untamed cats become tigers. Pain that is not transformed in some way, given the possibility of transformation, gets transmitted. Life is loss. Life is disappointment. Life is suffering. Life is uncertain. Life is fragile. I mean, life is also beautiful, precious, mysterious, wonder-filled. Every breath a gift. But life is painful. And you can't avoid the experience of pain. You can't avoid it. But you can try your darndest to avoid the feelings of pain. And quite frankly, most of us work hard at trying to avoid the feelings of pain because it's not pleasant. So what do you do with your pain? Are you transmitting your pain in not so helpful, maybe even destructive ways? Or is there a container where you're able to express your pain, where you are able to scream, where you are able to bring it to the light, where it might hold the chance to be transformed and healed? Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Buddhist writer and priest, a monk, said, "Do not fight against pain. Do not fight against irritation or jealousy. Embrace them with great tenderness as though you were embracing a little baby. Your anger is yourself, and you should not be violent towards it." Think about that. Your anger, or your pain, or your hurt is not separate from you. It is you. So what would it mean to stop treating those difficult, those uncomfortable, those emotions we just as soon stuff down inside? What would it mean to stop treating those emotions as enemies, but instead as this wounded child inside of us that desperately needs to be embraced with tenderness? I mean, often our immediate reaction to pain, I don't know about you, is to run away from it, to avoid it, to deny it, to project it onto others. That's my favorite. It's not me. It's the world. It has nothing to do with what's going on in me. Celtic spiritual wisdom suggests we lean into our pain. We feel it. We experience it. We try to express it in healthy ways. Psalm 55. Cast your burden upon the Lord. What if our faith was to be the container that was to hold even the ugliest of our emotions. I think of Romans 8 where it says, God hears our sighs, our moans, our groans, our screams that are too deep even for words. That's where God is. In those groans and screams. In our Naked Spirituality series this summer, we're trying to peel away the layers of our faith like an onion so that we can get real. That's our motto, to get real and to get real in our relationship with God. And today's word is all about getting real. It's a word of exasperation. It's a word of desperation. It's a word of frustration. When? How long, God? When? When will this end? When will things get better? When will the storm be over? When will the economy improve? When will the violence end? When will justice come? When will that ache in my soul go away? When will my tears dry? When will life change? When will things be made right? When? How long, God? When? What is your when? What is your cry of when to God? These past 10 days, my family and I did a college campus tour. Four of us. My sons are not small. They're bigger than me. Four of us in a minivan. And we're still talking to each other. So we started in eastern Washington, and then we kind of scooted across to Montana, and then southern Montana, and then Idaho, and then all the way down through Utah, and then across California to the central coast of California, and then home, finally. And there were more than a few moments on this journey in our minivan where I wondered, when? When will we ever arrive at our destination? And even though my sons are young men now, I did hear from the back of the minivan a couple times, are we there yet? Life can feel like that sometimes. How much longer? Are we there yet? Where, quite frankly, there are some days where survival, we need the gold medal. Just surviving, because it's victory. And if we don't find healthy ways to express our emotions, it can so easily turn outwardly in really destructive ways, or it can turn inwardly and become depression. So allowing ourselves the cry of when is actually a spiritual practice where we make room in our faith, we make space in our faith for disappointment and fear and anger and sadness and hurt. We bring all of that out of hiding to the light, so that they might be transformed by the light. You know, sometimes I think we view church predominantly as a place where you dress up, trying to look your best. I mean, what should I wear today? Where you try the best you can to appear to all of those around you. You know, I got it together today. Where we, maybe sometimes I wonder whether church, whether our highest values are about being right, being nice, being polite. When I know for a fact, deep down inside, there's more than a few people here today who simply want to scream. Maybe you. What if church was a space of grace where our screams were welcome? Where the ugliness and messiness of our emotions wouldn't be judged. Where our pain would be embraced with tenderness. as though a frightened child. Let me read Psalm 137. This particular psalm describes a community of people. We forget sometimes that the psalms are community prayers. These are prayers, and they're not individual prayers. It's we have prayers of the people. These are prayers of the people, generally spoken out loud in the context of worship, in the context of community gathering. And this is one of those psalms of people leaning into their pain. It's a psalm of lament. Some folks crying out, when? By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors. They asked us to sing songs. Our tormentors demanded that we sing songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Do you know that was in there? The psalm paints an incredibly powerful picture of unspeakable pain and grief. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept. A little background, these people were exiled from their homes. They were sent 600 miles away, where they were forced to serve their captors. It was devastating. These folks lost everything that was near and dear to them. They were left without all of the old securities that they knew. They lost their hope, their faith. So how did they deal with this catastrophe? They delved into the depth of their pain. And they expressed their pain before God in prayer. Uncensored, unfiltered, unedited. They lamented. They cried out in anguish. You know, we're often taught to offer prayers of thanksgiving. We're taught to offer prayers of intercession. And those are important. They're nice prayers. And in many church services, people write them out. They're careful about the words. They're polite prayers. What about the prayers of lament and anger? What's extremely powerful to me about this psalm is this is a community prayer. This is people of Israel. They felt open enough and comfortable enough to bring before God this honest, gut-wrenching prayer, their honest, raw emotions of anger and pain. What about our prayers of rage? What about our prayers that just simply don't make sense? Because really, quite frankly, our feelings are rarely rational. They're mostly irrational. They don't make sense. What about those prayers? What about the prayers that take the form of screams? What about when life seems so unfair and pain pierces our hearts? Is there a place to share our anger, our grief, our frustration? Is there a place to scream? An untamed cat always becomes a tiger. You know, initially I was really uncomfortable with the last verse in Psalm 137. I kind of wish it wasn't in the Bible. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that, you know, if I had my way, I'm not sure I would put that one. I would put that one in there. Happy are the ones who take your little ones and dash them against the rocks. Yikes. That prayer is real. They have so much pain, so much anger, so much resentment. That prayer is honest. I'm not saying it's healthy. But if you suppress that kind of rage, it spills out. In community, they were allowed to scream their rage, trusting it was God's grace that would be the container that would be able to hold that kind of pain. And bringing that kind of darkness into the light gives it the possibility to be transformed, healed. Ann Weems is a Presbyterian poet, and she wrote 50 psalms of lament as a way to deal with the grief and the pain and the anger over the death of her son. She described the day her son died as the day the stars fell from the sky. And she said, in being able to just write what was going on inside of me without it having to have make much sense, just to be able to write it and express it, to face my pain and my grief, face these honest, raw emotions, she found hope and healing that she described in this particular poem that she wrote. In the God-forsaken, obscene quicksand of life, there's a deafening hallelujah rising from the souls of those who weep and of those who weep with those who weep. If you watch, you will see the hand of God putting the stars back in their skies, one by one. Today we come to this table, and so often I talk to people who feel like somehow they have to clean up before they come to the table, kind of like wash your hands before dinner, you know, wash my soul before I'm acceptable, presentable to come to this table. That's not what this table is about. This table is about grace that meets us where we are. So I want you to imagine just clenching your fist, and you might even want to try it now, clenching your fist to the point where you're shaking. And whatever it is you're holding inside, whatever it is you're holding that fist represents, that's what you're welcome to bring to this table. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and as you open and offer your pain, your anger, your rage, your disappointment, your hurt, your sadness, as you offer all of that to God, in turn, through this cup and through this bread, may you be given the strength to face whatever it is you face, to keep surviving. And may this cup and bread remind you, there is a love that holds even that which you are most afraid of. We continue to worship God through the morning offering.